Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Big Noisy Bug Movie Podcast, the podcast that stands up to reason because it can't stand up to anything else. I'm your host, Pete Pollock, and this week on the show, Braveheart, the story of how Mel Gibson saved Scotland. More coming up right after the end of our fabulous theme song. That joke doesn't get old, does it? I hope not. So this is the story of Mel Gibson. Well, it's actually the story of William Wallace, played by Mel Gibson. And he is a guy who is, his dad gets killed early on in the movie, and he gets taken away by an uncle for rigorous intellectual training, and he travels the world with the guy, and his dad is killed because he's defending his home against the English. And apparently that's not a good idea because the English in this period are really, really tough and they're really doing a lot of bad things in Scotland. So Mel Gibson disappears for a while his character does, and he eventually comes back, having transformed from young boy into actual Mel Gibson. And he really just wants to be left alone. He's not interested in fighting. There's other people that they come around. They say, hey, we want you to fight. I'm not really interested in that. I'm a peaceful man. And that's what he's into. He finds the girl who treated him real nice when he was about eight. And he woos her and eventually marries her in secret. He has to marry her in secret because the British have a custom of allowing their nobles who are in the vicinity to have, relations with any young woman who's getting married on her wedding night. Happy wedding. So they get married in secret, and that's pretty much their life. Until the British troublemakers, one of them decides that he wants to rape Mel Gibson's wife. And he attempts to do that, and Mel Gibson intervenes, and she ends up getting caught. He gets away, and they kill her for attacking a noble. So you can guess that the way they set this up, the Scots are getting a pretty raw deal early on, and of course you need that because Mel Gibson suddenly gets transformed into badass Mel Gibson at this point because they've killed his wife, and he goes berserk and takes out a bunch of Scots, he takes out a bunch of English, and he forms an army, and he goes medieval on them. What more can you say? And he sweeps through and does a lot of damage to the British. All the while, he is, in addition to fighting the British, he's trying to unify the Scots. And that doesn't work real well because a lot of the Scottish nobles feel that their futures are safer with the British being the superpower in the area. And so they're kind of undercutting everything he does. And one thing leads to another, and as you can probably imagine, Mel Gibson saves the day. Now, is this any good? All of this stuff happening? First of all, let me say, it's dangerous to say you like Mel Gibson, okay? I have liked Mel Gibson in certain things, all right? Obviously, in real life, he's had his issues. But in some movies, like the Lethal Weapon movies and stuff like that, yeah, he's kind of fun to watch, and that's okay. When he's playing a Scot, though, and he does the accent better than Kevin Costner did a British accent in Robin Hood, which is kind of our standard, right, for bad accents. He does it better than that, but I don't think... I felt that he wasn't entirely Scottish. Now, maybe if I was Scottish, I would have thought he was dead on. But to me, watching it, there were a few times where he didn't seem to quite grab the Scottish accent. And this, you're listening to a guy who thinks that he generally does a pretty good American accent. But I just thought he missed it. But I'm not going to quibble about that. The thing that I'll quibble about his performance is I felt that there were a few times where I don't know how to describe it, but he has a Mel Gibson way of looking. Like, he kind of shrugs and mugs, and that works great in a Lethal Weapon movie. But when I'm watching it, and he's supposed to be this Scottish, you know, nobleman kind of a guy, that really pulled me out of the movie. There were a few times where it's like, whoa, I'm watching Mel Gibson with long hair. And of course, I am watching Mel Gibson with long hair, but you're not supposed to be reminded of that, ideally, when you're you know, watching a movie. So his performance kind of threw me off a little bit. Now, the rest of the film, it's one of these things where it is exciting and it is interesting, but it's one of these things where they make the British bad guy out to be such a bad guy that you just can't wait to see him get skewered. And he really, you know, I don't want to give too much away, but he doesn't get skewered in the way that you want. But he does get a skewering before it's all over. He's just, you know, and this is a trap that I think movies sometimes fall into. Lesser movies certainly do it often enough, where they instead of making you know, bad guys and good guys and having some shades of gray and kind of mixing things up and making it a little bit more interesting and adding some depth, they just make a bad guy who's just a complete scumbag. To describe the kind of a guy that that the English king is, at one point he's fighting. His forces are, he's on the battlefield, and his forces, of course, he's not battling, but his forces are battling with the Scots, and they're kind of wrestling and fighting, and it's real close quarters and everything. And he orders the archers to just toss some volleys of arrows into the battle. And his advisor says, "Well, aren't we going to hit our own people?" And he says, "Yeah, well, we'll get some more, you know." So he doesn't even care. Like, yeah, just, you know, just fire, you know, just kill everybody, whatever. You know, we got a bigger army. We can waste people. We don't care. So this is the kind of a guy he is. And the other performance of note in this thing is, and I have to pull up her name. Oh, Sophie Marceau. She plays, she's actually the intended wife and the wife, in fact, of the king's son. And the king's son, let's just say, has no interest in women whatsoever. So she's kind of frustrated, and now I don't know how much of any of this is, well, actually I have a pretty good idea that a lot of this isn't historically accurate. Maybe the thing about the son is, I don't know, but she's frustrated, and of course at some point, for movie purposes, the king sends her to be his diplomat to make a deal with Mel Gibson's character. And, well, we can probably guess where that's going to go. She falls in love with Mel Gibson. And you know, who wouldn't, I guess, that's the theme of the movie, and that's why they make movies like this. So things don't, you know, she's not a good diplomat or a go-between, because she pretty much immediately defects over to the other side and becomes a double agent. This film is, like I say, it's interesting. It certainly held my attention. It's worth seeing. I don't know that it's one that I'd need to see more than once. I think one time through and you pretty much get the gist of it. Unless you want to see Mel Gibson and his cronies mooning the British more than once. I'm going to say this one's a rent it. And it's worth checking out, so check it out if you get the chance, but, you know, don't marry it. Next week on the show... Next week is The English Patient. And this should be a good film, I hope. I haven't seen this one, but it's got Ralph Fiennes and Kristin Scott Thomas and Juliette Binoche. Willem Dafoe, you got, and the guy from Lost. So how awesome is that? So, well, one of the guys from Lost. There's like 60 guys in Lost, but it's the Iraqi guy from Lost is in this. So looking forward to checking that one out. Hopefully it's worth my time, and hopefully it'll be worth yours. Until next week, I am Pete Pollack. This is the Big Noisy Bug Movie Podcast, a production of the Big Noisy Bug Media Empire. Have a good one.